right side sensed the presence of the other. Then, suddenly, headlights from three cars blazed on and dazzling beams of light shot across the moor, outlining the deer against the black night as if in some etched drawing, their eyes glittering and shining. They did not move because the sudden blaze of light rocked their senses. By the time they had recovered, it was too late. Rifles spat fire from the direction of the cars. The noise of the shots reverberated into the darkness, striking the rocks and the hillsides in Glen Dochart, echoing in the corries where fox and eagle shrank closer into den and nest as they heard the sounds of death. The clean scents of moorland after rain were clouded with the smell of spent bullets. Four deer fell dead, one in a wounded, kicking heap. Another, mortally struck, sped off into the night and, in pain, limped its way over the hills by the old pass near Craig nan Éireannach, the rock of the Goat's Leap, to the long glen of Balquidder. Then by Glen Buckie, and onwards yet, until it lay down finally on the lower slopes of Ben Leddy, never to rise again. Suddenly, shouts of alarm pierced the night as the men left their cars and went to pick up the corpses. For out of the darkness came a large stag with sweeping antlers, looking in the headlights like some gigantic beast from mythology, white and ghost-like. It bore down on them, angry and menacing.
"Look out!"
yelled one man, frantically trying to level his rifle. Others swore and one got off a wild shot. The stag leapt over the bonnet of a car and bounded away into the darkness, its white disappearing shape followed by a fusillade of shots.
"Did you see that?"
shouted one angrily.
"What a size of a beast, and it was white! It came right at us! I've never seen that before!"
"Fear makes them rush in panic," replied another. "I thought it was a ghost. It's got a charmed life anyway," he said, smiling grimly.
"We'll keep an eye out for it next time. It's the only white stag I've seen or even heard of. It would be worth a lot stuffed or caught alive."
They began to load the corpses, still muttering about the white stag.
"Oh, get a move on," said the leader. "Those shots will have been heard. We'll split up. Two cars go home by the Loch Lomond Road and the other by Callander. Come on, we haven't got much time."
Rifles and helmets were stowed in the various car boots along with the corpses, and the cars were driven off. The moor returned to quiet, and the fox and eagle returned to sleep, or to hunting for their own prey. On a far-off knoll, the white stag stood silently, head held high. Then it too set off in the direction of Ben Leddy, a journey that was eventually to save its life. Gavin was happy and excited. He was back in Scotland again to join his friends Claire, Michael and Mont Stuart, the clan, as they called themselves, for a lengthy summer holiday. The last time he had come up from London, he had been allowed to join forces with them in a group they called their Clan Alliance, because his mother's name had been McCrae. Together, they had prevented a gang of thieves from stealing his uncle's precious antique silver. It was the best holiday of his life. The clan had taught him how to live out of doors, how to move quietly and secretly in the wild, leaving no traces behind. He could still remember those days with pleasure. And in his rucksack, he had his Clan McCrae badge and tartan sash. Gavin had worn his Balmoral hat on the train, much to the amusement of other passengers. But he didn't care. They didn't know the fun and adventures he had had last time he'd been here. This time he was going to a farm called Fascally, not far from Callander, to where Uncle Fergus and Aunt Elspeth had moved. They had agreed to let him and the Stuarts stay there during the school holidays.